Welcome to the first mini episode of For the Medical Record, which carries on from the Colloquially Speaking video series that the History of Science, Technology, and Medicine departments use to upload on YouTube following colloquium talks. We will link to some of those videos in the show notes. Going forward, in these short episodes, we want to provide easily digestible summaries about the colloquium speakers' presentations, their works, and how their works in progress relates to medicine and its practice today. In this episode, we are fortunate to interview collaborators Oluwatoyin or Tunde Odunton and Jonathan Roberts. They presented their research on decolonizing the history of medicine in Africa at Johns Hopkins on September 29th. We hope you enjoy.
Okay, so yeah, my name is Oluwatoyin Odunton. I am at Towson University, where I'm an associate professor of history. The title of our paper to the colloquium was Decolonizing Africa and the Origins of Medicine. My specialization is on social and political history of Africa, focusing on African intellectuals. And many of the intellectuals I study turned out to be medical doctors. So I found myself reading lots of medical texts. That's why I began to think about this.
And I'm Jonathan Roberts. I'm an associate professor at Mount St. Vincent University in Halifax in Nova Scotia in Canada. I was a colleague of Tunde's in the past, and we always have these great conversations about where history is going, especially in Africa. And I'm a historian of Africa and medicine. I just was getting into conversations with Tunde about this, and we were thinking, how do we tell the bigger story here? And what real story does this contact across the Atlantic and into Europe have to tell us about how human beings have been healing each other? So we moved in to talk about this concept that we had about decolonizing the history of medicine in Africa.
Would you guys mind summarizing the colloquium talk, going through its main point and its purpose within your wider work?
The paper, again, is on how we might recover the history of medicine, modern medicine in Africa. And we argue that that had not been possible before now because the mainframe historiography of the history of medicine in Africa frames Africa as being outside of medical knowledge, and that Africa has received impact from Western doctors and Western medical establishments. So our interest was to recover those. We thought that there's a need for a much more global view of the role of Africans, and much more fundamentally to challenge the way the history of medicine itself is written in such ways that it kind of removes Africa from it. So yeah, the large purpose was to recover a history of medicine. We look through the literature of medicine and we find very sparse mention of Africans. So we think it's a good story to tell. It's very relevant. It will permit an expansion in medical penetration. We hope that the story will legitimize modern medicine in Africa. It will make it accessible, we hope, to Africans, because then they will not think that something foreign to them. On the whole, our challenge is to recover that story, and that's what our project is about.
Yeah, Tunde has put it very well there. I'll just add a couple things here. In the histories of medicine in general, so the textbooks that you'd be asked to read if you were doing an undergraduate or graduate degree in this subject, there's not a single African mentioned except for people in the ancient world who lived in North Africa. And so that's in histories of medicine. You'll be lucky to find even one African mentioned in a history of tropical medicine. And probably the person who will be mentioned will be Africanus Horton, or someone who's already fairly well known in the historical record, which is just, it's just astounding. But it really shouldn't be surprising, because as we like to say, there's this kind of province of history that medicine lives within that's entirely Eurocentric. But in our conversations, we realize we're talking about Africans who've done all sorts of interesting work in medicine, and not just the pioneers, those people who somehow were lucky to be able to travel to England and be trained, or to Scotland to be trained, or wherever, but generation after generation of physicians, generation after generation of nurses, chemists, and so on.
I just want to go back, just because listeners might not know who Africanus Horton is, just explain a little bit about who he is and how the people that you are recovering might differ from his story or his situation.
So Africanus Horton is comes across as the pioneer, if you may, in the records, in the historiography, as the pioneer of modern medicine in Africa. The standard narrative is that he was a child of liberated slaves, resettled in Sierra Leone, where he acquired an education. And as the British wanted to find medical doctors to serve colonial purposes, they looked to train Africans. So the standard rendition is that Africanus Otten and three other Africans were sent to Edinburgh to study medicine there. And that from there, Africanus Otten was commissioned into the British Army, worked with the British Army as a surgeon, and proceeded to grow in the career. So it's seen in the literature as a creation of Britain, a colonial creation. The reading that gives is Europeans giving Africans medicine. Right? What we have tried to do is to recover people like Houghton, one, to demonstrate that Houghton was actually not a pioneer. Right? Starting the story from Houghton misses the big point of Africans being involved in the very origins of medicine. We trace African involvement well into the 18th century. So the other point we make about Houghton is that he was self-motivated. He was interested in medicine himself. And upon acquiring his degree, he didn't think he was doing something non-African. We think of him as a very interesting character, but he wasn't the only one. He was actually a gap in this long history of African appropriation of modern ideas, African generation of modern ideas and innovation, and that it continued.
Yeah, and then it's exactly right that he thought himself to be not an African who's practicing some sort of esoteric European invention, but being a direct participant.
It's really interesting the way that you guys are talking about recovery and, you know, how there are these people who appear as these beacons when in reality there are other people working within that same vein. I work on women artists within medicine, and that's very much a similar thing where it's like, oh, look, there's this one woman who did this and she must be the only one. When in reality, it's like, no, this was an established inroad and this was an established way for women to get into medicine. And so I think it's really interesting that, you know, this methodology of recovery exists in so many subfields within the history of medicine and within history in general.
I'm sorry, Christine, if I may just quickly respond to that. I found the pioneer paradigm very central to the creation of Western civilization and the narratives of Western civilization. It's practically the only way Europeans can come across as legitimate leaders, you know, by mapping when the story begins to be told and how it's told. And I thought I might just chip that in.
And what we want to argue is that certainly racism does rise and many Africans are excluded from public service, like the West African Medical Service, for example, but they keep on practicing. They go into private practice. They keep on training one another and then building clinics and then eventually hospitals. There's no end to that story, just as there was no beginning in the sense of the pioneer.
The next question I was going to ask is there anything in conducting this research that really surprised you?
What has surprised me is the volume of studies that have touched on this subject.
Yeah, I'd say one of the things that surprised me when we started interrogating medicine in Africa is the fact that we had to open up these categories much further than I thought we would. And we even end up saying, you know, are we talking about medicine here and what is medicine? And then thinking, yeah, medicine becomes this target of social power that we have to address. And that gave us the impetus to keep moving with this. And then there's all sorts of political elements to that that have come into play that we've been discussing that really have been manipulated to build the nation, to build the medical state, to justify the colony, that bifurcation into the traditional and the medical. So that kind of definitional stuff has been surprising and rewarding for both of us, I think.
You both touched upon this at the very beginning, but I'm wondering if you could kind of speak a bit more to how your historical research relates to questions, debates, and problems in medicine today and how we might see a through line from your work to now.
My interest was on African intellectuals and how they helped promote social change in Africa. My interest was on how they were seen as colonial creations who were filled with Western ideas that they carried along to change Africa. And their failure to change Africa to conform to Western standard is often attributed to them because they became corrupt, because they were not Western enough, kind of became the dominant ways of looking at them. That helped me to, of course, begin to rethink ideas of what Western identity itself meant. okay, and seeing that it is not a coherent body of ideas of what it meant to be Western or what it meant to be African. Okay, many of them were medical doctors, and in reading their text, I see them thinking through medical questions as well as problems of social change and the roles it played in social change and in the colonial encounter in Africa. Smallpox in the standard edition of colonial medicine, it comes across as something that was an African disease, but was resolved by colonial medicine. Western medical doctors basically began to vaccinate Africans in the 20th century, which led to its eradication. As part of the WHO program, my finding was that there were no serious roles that colonial medicine played in the eradication. The World Health Organization project itself was not colonial. It was much more global. But this was not a colonial story. I saw this was not a colonial medical achievement, right? And its success in Africa was because it was a human story of humans finding solutions to a problem that they confronted.
I think that what I would add to that is that I do a podcast called Pandemics Past and Present, which I'm turning into another podcast called Vampire Pandemics, meaning that pandemics never really go away and they kind of just suck our blood over the centuries. You know, the latest pandemic, that's COVID-19, and its different variants has taught me something and ways of rethinking what we know about responses to pandemics, in particular vaccinations. Just like Tunde's talking about, we come out of that smallpox tradition where it really was a set of global cooperative initiatives that make it what it was. If we go back and look at that storyline, it's not something that's centrally coordinated except for, you know, knowledge warehouses like the WHO, but really every country and every region has to chip in for it to be a success. And during COVID-19, we've seen something like that. And in the vaccine world, you have this, like I said in the colloquium, this pinnacle of medical science, of the commercialization of medical science. You have people around the world coming up with different vaccines and, of course, sequencing different variants of COVID. And in Africa, this is happening. What I guess we could argue is that even though Africa's participating, in the case of the South African and Botswanan scientists who sequenced Omicron, they end up being part of this colonial mentality remains in the West, where although they sequence it, their countries are still subject to travel bans, right? They still become a source of the illness, even though they're very much part of this international cooperative effort to challenge that illness. And you saw similar things during Ebola, and we are fearful that we'll see those in the future. So part of the reason we want to do this and get Africa back into the storyline is that so that people on the continent and people who are associated with making medicine on the continent can be part of that story and know that they are going to, in the future, continue to be part of this international cooperation or international endeavor that is making medicine as we see it.
That's great. That's a really nice, clear connection. I'm wondering if people are listening to this and they're interested in knowing more about your research or more about related research, where could they go to find out more about this kind of work?
We have amassed significant data that we're looking to post on the website soon. We've collected significant WHO records from the 1940s, for instance. We've collected records on the early hospitals in Sierra Leone from the British National Archives. So we're also building a library related to the subject. And so soon we should have a coherent body of knowledge and a location for it to share.
Yeah, I'd say we leave it as look out for our social media blitz, which is coming up, which will include the information Tunde is talking about, which we want to make more accessible to researchers who are doing this kind of work. And then we're going to have associated with that Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and some short videos, maybe even TikTok videos, so that we can make a connection here to people. Because we know that with social media, we can make a bigger impact in Africa to people who are interested in this and then connect them to the resources which we'll be posting online, those of that open source. It's yet to appear, but look out for it. Decolonizing Medicine in Africa.